How are we doing, Mid-Current? That was terrible. Hey, good for you. I've had four cups of coffee. I will carry you across the goal line today. We are good to go. Hey, I'm excited to be here. My name is James Brown. If you're new with us today, I'm a friend of Mid-Current. I've been around here, live in Hudson with my family. And so just honored to have another opportunity to speak with you as we head into this new year. And as we sort of reflect on this last week, I just want to ask this question. Do you know what December 26th was? Do you know what December 26th was? Boxing Day. Oh, great. Thank you, Canada. That's great. Sten's birthday. This is a lot of stuff. You didn't mention that before. It's also my anniversary, 11 years. I've been married to my wife, or I should say she's been married to me, putting up with me. She's one miracle shy of sainthood after marrying me. So this is great. But December 26th was not merry and bright, unfortunately, for most travelers, because according to AAA, the day after Christmas was the worst day of the year for delays and congestion on the road. In fact, this whole holiday season is expected to be a tough one, as more than 115 million people will be traveling for the holidays. Over 115 million people will be traveling during December 21st and January 1st. And so thinking about that, do you know what the most common statement is, what it is on each one of these holiday journeys? Well, I can tell you it's not, honey, I think you just missed your exit. Popular, but not the most common. It's also not, we're going to fly next year, which is what I say in every holiday trip. It's not even this one. Daddy, pull over, I have to pee. That's not even the most popular one. None of those. The most common, and I would suggest the most aggravating question that gets asked in any holiday journey is simply this. Are we almost there yet? Are we almost there yet? And maybe that was asked on a trip that you went on in the last couple of weeks. And it's an interesting question because I think it's definitely one that can be asked when you travel or you take a trip, but I would also suggest that this question is one that can be asked of our individual journeys as well. And I think it's even one that we could ask of ourselves as a church. Are we almost there yet? So as we launch this new series called 2020 Crossings, let me ask you specifically, are you almost there yet? As we cross over into 2020, are you in a good place? Are you in a good place as an individual? Are you in a good place as a family? Now, you may not know this, but a recent survey was taken of people in this specific region where we live, and the survey showed that 95% of residents in this area, when they're considering the quality of life living in this area, 95% of them rate the quality of life in this area as good or excellent. Now, I say this might not be true for those that live in Minnesota after the Vikings got their butt kicked last week. They might not feel so good or excellent about living in that area, but for us that live in Wisconsin, good or excellent, right? It's good. Now, people around here are pretty content. People around here mostly are content, pretty satisfied. I mean, we haven't arrived yet, but most of us feel like we're in a pretty good place. And then I would say, are we almost there yet as a church, as Mid-Current? And I could easily argue that although we haven't arrived yet at our promised land as a church, we are in a pretty good place, right? I mean, just in 2019, 19 kids were dedicated, 6 people were baptized, $5,000 was raised, and 100 runners participated in the World Vision 6K. 35 women went away for a retreat. 20 dudes went to the men's retreat. 700 pounds and $1,000 was donated to local food shelves. 3 people said yes to Jesus. And we added another service. All in all, pretty good year. Well, we're not there yet, but it feels like, if I can use that Bible analogy again, we're getting closer to the promised land. And maybe it feels like for you that at this point, at this juncture, as an individual or as a church, we're sort of sitting on the riverbank. And where we want to be, the promised land, is just over there. It's just across the water. I mean, maybe as you stand here at the end of 2019 and look across the water toward the promised land of 2020, I mean, you can see it. Everything that you've been working for this last year, for that promotion or the new job or the new appointment, like you've been working on it and you're right on the riverbank and you can see right over to the other edge that you're almost there. That hard work that you did with your kid this year to get them to the place that they needed to be, and you're right there. You just got to get over to that other space. It's just right over there. You can see it, but you're not there just yet. The work that you did this year in your marriage, trying to make it whole, make it right, make it work. And there's been good progress this year, and you're looking right across. You're on the riverbank, you're looking right across, and you can see the promised land on the other side. And it's hopeful. It's hopeful to be on the riverbank. But here's the problem with being on the bank too long. Nothing of significance happens on the riverbanks of life. The riverbank's not bad. In fact, the riverbank's pretty good. I mean, you can toss the frisbee on the riverbank. You can drop a line in the water on the riverbank. You can have a picnic on the riverbank, and all those things are good. But as you know, sometimes good things can become the enemy of the best things. In fact, too much basking time on the beach is bad news for you and for me. You ever seen one of these bad boys here? What is that? It's a beached whale, right? It's a beached whale. I mean, this beast is not made for the beach, right? Honey, is he calling me a beached whale? What is that? Who is this guy? No, I'm using a metaphor. It's a metaphor. He's not made for the beach, and neither are we. He's made to do this. He's made to make an impact. He's made to be free. He's made to do those sort of things. And we're not made for the beach as well. But the problem is, the temptation is, the tension is, the pull is for all of us, every human being, to park it on the beach and declare that I'm there, we're here, I've arrived, this riverbank is good enough for me. But the truth is, it's not good enough. We, you, me, we were made for more, and we are not there because we've not arrived yet at the place that God wants us to be. So the reality of life is simply this. Life comes down to a series of crossings. Since we can't stay on the riverbank, since we can't stay on the sideline on the beach, we have to take a next step. You see, God has new territory for us to take in this life. And each crossing that we make is a gateway for our growth to become more of the person that he's designed us to be. But the truth is, it's not easy. Every one of these crossings that we're called to take comes with its own set of challenges. Moving into new territory when it comes to your finances, or when it comes to your marriage, or when it comes to a new friendship or a new city, or when it comes to your education, a new crossing when it comes to your career or your spiritual or your physical or emotional health, each of those crossings are always difficult. They're always hard, which is why so many people never move beyond the bank. Never move beyond the bank. And so they remain stuck on the edge of something great, always afraid to take that next step. In fact, I meet so many people. I meet so many people who are what I call riverbanked. They're stuck, just doing the same stuff every day. Same stuff every day. It never changes. This is the same old life. I mean, maybe your story sounds a little like this. You get up at the same old time, you shut off the same old alarm clock, you walk into the same old bathroom, look at the same old face in the same old mirror. You get in the same old shower, you dry off with the same old towel, put on the same old clothes, walk to the same old kitchen, get out the same old bowl, pour the same old cereal, eat the same old cereal with the same old spoon, drink the same old coffee, read the same old newspaper, kiss the same old face. Get in the same old car, drive the same old way to the same old job, sit in the same old desk, laugh at the same old jokes the same old boss tells in the same old way. And then time is up. clock out at the same old time, you get back in the same old car, you drive down the same old street to the same old garage, walk into the same old kitchen, sit down and eat the same old dinner, walk into the family room, sit in the same old recliner, watch the same old America's Got Talent, fall asleep in the same old chair, get up and go to the same old bed, ask the wife the same old question, get the same old answer. Roll over, hit the same old alarm clock and get up and do the same old thing all over again. And the sad truth is that's the way a lot of people live their lives. Maybe you live your life in that way. That's their life. But man, I don't want to be 12 months from now. I don't want to be the same old me. But that's what happens. That's what happens when you stay at almost there. You see, it's so easy for us to get comfortable on the riverbank and to stop taking steps toward becoming the person that God has designed you and me to be. It's easy to get stuck there. That's the bad news. The good news, on the other hand, is that we were not meant to stay parked on the riverbank. In fact, every time we reach a riverbank, every time we reach a beach, it's a signal to us, it's a sign to us that God is actually calling us to do something more with our lives and in our lives, because after all, we were created for crossings. So let me ask you, as we think about this next year, what bank are you on? What riverbank are you stuck at right now? And what crossing do you need to take? Where does God want you to move, to go next? You see, again, you might be in a good place. You might be in a good place. You might be almost there. But if you are still alive, you haven't yet arrived. If you still have a pulse, you're not supposed to park. And so how then do we do these crossings? How do we successfully cross into the space that God is calling us to be? Well, thankfully, the Bible gives us a clear picture. The Bible actually gives us an incredible example of how to navigate these crossings that we face in our life. It gives us a model for how we get from here to there, how we get from where we are currently to the place that God wants us to be. And what we're going to see today and what we're going to see over the few weeks of this series is that when you have the courage to go to the places where God wants you to be, to cross into the place he wants you to be, to cross into that area, something significant, and I would argue even miraculous, happens in your life. But you have to have the courage to cross. And so I want to show you what that looks like from a book of the Bible called Joshua. Joshua is about a guy named Joshua who had a challenge before him that was immense. But yet he was able to not just stand on the riverbank, but to cross over in such a way that it impacted generations to come. In fact, the first line of the book says this. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Okay, a couple words in this verse, but something significant has just happened. What happened? Somebody died is what happened. And what was his name? Moses. Moses was the big time leader of Israel, and now Moses is dead. Moses was the guy that was tasked to deliver God's people out of slavery in Egypt into their promised land. He was the guy tasked with taking the Israelites from where they were to where God wanted them to be. And so in verse 2, God speaking to Joshua says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. Are they almost there yet? Yeah. Yeah, they're sitting on the banks of the Jordan River. But you have to understand that at the same time, they've been en route to this moment for 40 years now. I mean, we hear about the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and all of the things that are involved in that story, but what we don't realize is that that journey from Egypt to Canaan, which was the promised land, that journey was only really a 250-mile journey to make. It wasn't that long. It should have only taken them about a month max to get there. But something happens. And the thing that happens actually reminds me of Gilligan's Island. What was supposed to be this 3-hour tour on the SS Minnow with Ginger Marianne, the professor in the house, ended up taking forever, like 8,000 seasons. It was forever there on this island. And the same is true for the Israelites. It was supposed to be a month, but it seemed like it took them forever. What was the delay for the Israelites? Well, according to the Bible, the battery on Moses' Apple Watch died. It got lost. No, I'm just kidding. That's a terrible Christmas joke. Anyway, it was actually worse than that. I mean, to understand the story of the delay, you'd have to go back to a Bible book called Numbers in chapter 13. And what we see is that dozens and dozens of years earlier, 40 years earlier, God had sent 12 scouts out to check out the land, to check out this land that God had promised them. And so they go and they scope it out for 40 days. And then they come back and they tell everybody, we can't do it. God had brought them 40 years earlier to this moment where they could have crossed into the promised land, but they didn't. And they discouraged everyone from doing it. And in fact, they said, the people there are too big and they're too massive and they're too mean and we can't overtake them and get into the land. We can't do it. I mean, what happened? The people gave in to their fear. The people gave in their fear. I mean, God had promised that he would go with them. God had promised that the land would be theirs. But in the midst of pursuing that, they took their eyes off of God. They became giant-focused instead of God-focused, which is something that you and I do all the time. When we see that problem at work, when we see that issue in our marriage, when we're dealing with this mountain of debt that we're trying to eliminate, we take our eyes off of God and look at the size of the issue and the size of the problem. When God the whole time is saying, look at me, I'm bigger than these things. But they, like us, took their eyes off of God and they quit trusting him. And as a result, God does something. He decides to discipline them for it. And the discipline is found in that book of Numbers in chapter 14. It says this, because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must now wander in the wilderness for 40 years. A year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sin. Then you will discover what it is like to have me as an enemy. God says, you took your eyes off me. You became afraid and thought I was small. And you need to learn how big I really am. And so what should have been this 30-day excursion turns into this 40-year nightmare, which as we read through this, it seems a little harsh, right? I'm sure it felt harsh to them, but it was imperative that they get this crossing correct, that this second time around, 40 years later, that they get it right the second time, because the future and the eternity of humanity depended upon them getting this riverbank moment exactly right. And to God, it was clear that they needed to learn a very difficult lesson. God knew they needed to learn this lesson. And he also knew that 4 decades later, they would have to make the difficult decision to confront their fears again and take a step toward the promised land, which is exactly what they did. If you go back to Joshua chapter 1, you begin to see that the Israelites have paid their 40 years of dues, 40 years of asking their fearless leader, are we almost there yet? And at this moment, finally they are. They finally made it to the riverbank of the Jordan River. Canaan and the promised land are just right across the water on the other side. And with all of this time, with all of their lessons learned, with these 40 years of anticipation, the crossing now is going to be just a piece of cake, right? It's going to be so easy. Slam dunk, right? Wrong. Crossings, getting there, getting from here to there, it's never easy. It's never going to be easy. Obstacles will always seem to find a way to get in the way. But thankfully, Joshua wasn't a picnic on the beach kind of guy. He's not the kind of leader who would be content with just staying where they were on the bank. He's a leader that knew nothing significant would ever happen on the riverbank, because miracles don't happen when almost there becomes good enough. And that was Joshua. And he was going to lead them forward, off the bank and across the river. That was Joshua. But the question that we have to deal with today and in this series is, what would our response be? What will our response be to whatever our 2020 crossing is? What is your 2020 crossing? I mean, as you stand on the riverbank in your life, getting ready to step into this new year, what is it that God is calling you into, calling you toward? The change, the amplification, the stand that you need to take. Well, what is he calling you to do? As you think about that, I think there's also something that we need to consider as a church, because as without a shadow of a doubt, I mean, God, as I've seen from this last year and beyond, he's got new territory that this church is supposed to take. I mean, truthfully, the last thing he wants us to do is put a beach blanket down on the riverbank and just sit there and reflect on how great 2019 is. And I know there's more, because when Jesus came to the earth, he made it crystal clear that his mission was going to be, I have come to seek and save those who are lost. That was Jesus' mission. Spiritual lostness bothers God. People who are far from God, people who whose sin separates them from him, people who are facing a Christless eternity without God, that is his number one priority. And it needs to be the number one priority for Midcurrent as well. That as long as there is one person out there who has not entered into a life-changing, eternity-altering relationship with God through his son Jesus, as long as there's one person out there, we cannot sit on the beach. We cannot stay on the bank. That is why as a church, we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep expanding. We're going to keep on crossing whatever obstacle blocks us from bringing Jesus to a spiritually hungry world. And what we learn from Joshua is that whatever crossing that God is calling you into, whether it's individually or whether it's as an entire church, it's going to require some moves that need to be done for it to be successful. And so for the last few minutes that we're together today, I just want to conclude with one of those movements. And then Sten and I will cover the other two movements the first 2 weeks in January. And cover some movements here. These movements are necessary for us to successfully cross into the promised land that God is calling us to. So if you're taking notes, you can write the first move down that we need to make, which is simply this: a knee to the ground. A knee to the ground. And what I mean by that movement is simply preparation. Preparation. We need to prepare. And I'm not talking about preparing buildings or budgets or scheduling. This isn't a moment for tactics or strategies. The preparation I'm talking about is the readying of our hearts, the preparing of our hearts, dealing with the junk that is keeping us on the river bank. Because we can't move until we allow God to move in us. That there's no crossing that can be made without first a cleansing. If we want to get in on God's next thing, we have to do it his way. We have to prepare ourselves. And that's exactly what we see Joshua leading the people of Israel to do. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, he says, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. Prepare. Get prepared to go, because in 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord God is giving you. What comes before the possession of the land? What comes before a new territory is acquired? The people need to get ready. We see this again a few chapters later in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. God has the people purify themselves. That is the prelude. That is the preface to God doing great things among his people. We have to prepare. Because you see this dynamic all throughout the Bible. Sin always holds back crossings. The things in our lives that keep us from crossing are the things that we need to get rid of. The sin in our lives, the areas where we fall short of God's glory, they always result in us doing laps in the wilderness. That's why taking a knee on the ground is so critical. A knee to the ground is crucial because what it offers us is this position of humility that says to God that whatever you're calling me to, I can't do on my own. Whatever you want me to do, this next step you want me to take, the thing I can see just right across the water, where you want me to go, I can't do that in my own power. I need your help. I need your strength. You see, we don't move forward until we stop and allow God to move in us. There's no crossing until there's a cleansing in our hearts. And so what I want to challenge and invite us to do over the next week is to participate in a total church cleanse. And this is the type of cleanse where there's no kale involved. You'll love it. It's fantastic, right? It actually has three parts, three R's: read, reflect, and review. Read, reflect, and review. We're going to spend the time this week in preparation as we read, reflect, and review. We're going to read. I want to invite you to read the scriptures every day this week. Why? Because Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says that there's no success without obedience to God's word. And so I want to invite you with me to read Joshua chapter 1 through Joshua chapter 5 this week. Go at your own pace, read a chunk at a time, but I want you to start thinking about what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. Begin to let that word of God into your mind so that it gets into your heart so that you can then reflect on what you've read. You see, you may not know this, but the Bible actually functions for us as a mirror, a map that shows us where to go, but also a mirror that shows us who we really are. And it takes time to intently look and see what needs to be changed in our lives. And as we read the stories and reflect on that, we can begin to review all the various ways and all the various areas that God wants us to address. Review means that we take inventory of our actions and our activities and our lives that are not what they should be. And to not ignore them, to not bury them, to not excuse them or dismiss them, but to acknowledge them. These areas where we're not where we should be, that we fall short, to acknowledge them and then ask for forgiveness for them, so that we're clean and clear before God. Because there is no crossing without a cleansing. And so this week, this is what I want you to do. I want you to begin to prepare on the riverbank for what God has next. To read and to review and to reflect on what God is calling you to do in his word. That's this week. And then next week, we're going to pick up the story again. As God's people have prepared themselves, their knees have been on the ground, their hearts have been cleansed, they've been hanging out on the riverbank, and they're almost there, but now they're ready. Now they're ready, and it's time to move. And now it's time, next week, for their crossing and our crossing as well. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this moment, and God, we thank you that you call us into a relationship with you. And God, that it's not a static relationship where we just kind of sit and soak, but it's one where you call us into new spaces and places that are beyond ourselves and are closer and closer to the person that you've designed us to be. And so God, I pray that this week we would spend some time in your word looking at ourselves and who we are, so that we can get a vision for who you've designed us to be. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the call to move and the opportunity for action. God, most of all, we thank you for Jesus, who modeled this for us, who crossed the space between heaven and earth into new territory and to make a way for us to be with you forever. And so, God, we thank you for this moment. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.